On October 7th, President Biden said, "My administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering." That is not true anymore, correct?
It is true. Still true today.
How is his support unwavering, but you're also reconsidering policy choices?
Both can be true.
They cannot be true. They're completely different things.
No. I'm sorry. He is wavering. Come on.
How is he not wavering?
Come on now. As I said, and as it says in that readout, we made clear, and he made it clear to the Prime Minister in his call, that our support for Israel's self-defense remains ironclad. They face a range of threats, and the United States isn't going to walk away from helping Israel defend itself. That said, you can say all that, and you can act on that, and you can believe that, and the president does, and still believe that the manner in which they are defending themselves against the Hamas threat needs to change. And that is the conversation that we had today. But both things are true. Our support is ironclad and consistent. It's not going to stop. It's not going to waver. But will there perhaps be some policy changes we might have to make if we don't see policy changes out of Israel? Yes.
How is that unwavering? It sounds like you guys are trying to have it both ways here.
No, I don't know that Israel can.
We are going to make all these changes because we don't support Israel.
I didn't say we're going to make changes. I said we need to see how Israel responds to the humanitarian crises in Gaza and how they respond to the protection of aid workers. I think we can all agree. I think you would agree. You don't want to see innocent civilians killed or targeted, do you? You don't want to see Gazans starve. You don't want to see famine in Gaza, do you? Of course not.
Why is it that, and this is my question, why is it that if you are questioning the commitment to an ally that you're wanting innocent people to starve, because Israel didn't create that condition. Hamas created that condition. Our administration has this so bass-ackwards, and we're going to dive into this. So I've prepared kind of, first off, welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you, top of our very first hour. This is what I have prepared for you today, because there are some more drums beating, and we need to talk about it so you're aware of everything. It's a three-parter. Okay, so there's three sections to this that we're going to get into. If you get the newsletter over at Substack, you know where I'm going, because you've got apprised of everything. You were tipped off before the show, so you know where I'm going with this. In one day, I'm not including the Houthis, because technically that was a different day. So he got a hat trick in one day. Joe Biden did. He bent the knee to China. He bent the knee to Hamas, and remember how I was telling you there was going to be this meeting of U.S. officials and NATO officials in Brussels this week? Well, yesterday, after the meeting, Antony Blinken came out and said that Ukraine's going to join NATO. Three things in one day. My jaw is on the floor, because I was told, as were you all told, they assured us that Trump was going to get us involved in all of these wars. You guys remember? All the wars. Can you remember all the wars that we had under the Trump administration? Gosh, war every day.
All those zero wars.
Just the wars. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, now, I am out of everyone in commentary, I am the least likely person to engage in hyperbole. Unless it's talking about how much I hate Green Day, which isn't hyperbole, it's fact. But this is bad. And this is a three-part deep dive that we're going to kind of go in and out of today, because there's a lot of information that I've prepared for you. We're really going to get in it. And we're going to touch on some Cold War stuff also. So the first thing, let me just give you the 30,000-foot view. So first off, the Biden administration yesterday, in two separate statements, maybe just, a couple of hours apart, the administration, not only did they side with Hamas, and I don't say that lightly, that's exactly what this is. Hamas has no reason to engage in any type of negotiation. And further, you realize that just a week ago, they rejected the offer of another ceasefire, correct? Everyone is aware of this. This is the fifth or sixth one in the past 2 months that they've rejected. Israel has been at the table fervently trying to negotiate a release of these hostages. And Hamas has no incentive. because they're being backed by the international community. I was having this conversation last night. I'm like, I'm actually shocked at this. I am shocked at the amount of people that are buying in to Pollywood nonsense. And that's exactly what it is. It is nonsense. It's not cruel to say so. It is not Zionist to say so. It's simple fact, guys. The Hamas is literally claiming that they've lost more people in Gaza than the Allies lost in all of Normandy. I'm not making that up. That's literally what they're arguing. If you go and look at the numbers that the Gazan Health Ministry, which is Hamas, is releasing, they're acting like they have literally lost. The number is greater than the number of lives we lost during the invasion of Normandy. Now, you reconcile those two things in your mind and then see if you can walk away believing what the Gazan Health Ministry says. I'm not exaggerating. That's literally what they're putting out there. And you have people who should be smart by way of being adults and voting. Some of them engage in business that are buying this lock, stock, and barrel. It is the wildest thing I'd ever seen in my life. So in these statements, the administration, you had a 1 hour, well, it was an hour, an hour and a half phone call that Biden had with Netanyahu. And they came back. Blinken comes back. Well, he's in Brussels. You have John Kirby who comes back. And apparently the readout and what the Associated Press had reported is that, oh, well, you know, they got to engage in a ceasefire. Not only do they have to implement a ceasefire, and in addition to implementing a ceasefire, you know, they need to start being a little bit more cautious with regards to civilian lives. After war starts, first off, regard for civilian lives is important, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying that to get past it so we can have this conversation because, you know, you have to pay that penance. Civilian lives, yeah. I just wish this conversation was had when Hamas was killing all these damn civilians. That would be great. It seems like the conversation's coming a little too late. People should have had that conversation because the reason, ladies and gentlemen, that Israel has had the response that they've had is after two decades of Hamas not giving a rat's backside about civilian lives. And interestingly enough, all of the statements from the administration and everywhere else were absent. There weren't any. It's pretty amazing, is it not? A major absence of information and statements on this. You have the leader of Hamas on camera saying they're going to do more. They're going to have more and more and more October 7th. They had a ceasefire that they broke the morning of October 7th. That ceasefire was in place. They broke it. And they have since rejected every single offer. So what is John Kirby? What is Joe Biden's response to this? I mean, like, what? How are you going to demand that this other entity, how do you demand that Israel implement a ceasefire when Hamas is rejecting it? Why are they not making these overtures to Hamas? Why did they not say, you know what, we understand you're trying to get the hostages back, and Hamas has no inclination to give the hostages back because the pressure just keeps getting turned up on Israel, and Hamas has the support of the international community and our stupid administration here in the U.S. So that's the first part of it. The second part, we're going to go through each of these. I'm just giving you the 30,000 foot right now. The second part of this is the first bends the knee to Hamas. Then, can we have this audio soundbite from, this was, I believe, Kirby. This was when they said that they were asked about, this was the phone call that Biden had with Xi Jinping the day before, and he was asked about Taiwan. And he had said, well, yeah, we don't recognize Taiwan's independence or sovereignty. We have this audio soundbite. Let's go ahead and play this.
Lee told President Biden during their summit in San Francisco that Beijing plans to reunify Taiwan with mainland China. Did the Chinese leader bring up a similar sentiment in their call the other day? And if so, what was President Biden's response?
Certainly Taiwan came up in the context of the call. There's not a single discussion that we don't have with senior leaders in the PRC where we don't talk about Taiwan. Of course it came up. I won't characterize President Xi's comments, but I can tell you that President Biden was very, very clear that nothing's changed about our one China policy. We don't support independence for Taiwan, but we also don't want to see the status quo changed in a unilateral way.
So The status quo prior to that was what they call strategic ambiguity, wherein they're not going to say that they don't recognize the sovereignty of Taiwan, but they're not going to say that they do recognize the sovereignty of Taiwan. And it's a position that numerous presidents, be they Democrat or Republican, have had in place. I mean, quite cowardly, I think, as well. So there now you have Kirby coming out there saying, yeah, well, we don't recognize it. We don't recognize their sovereignty. Bending a knee completely to China. Do you think that in that phone call with Xi Jinping, do you think that Joe Biden raised the issue of the Rona, the bat virus that China unleashed on the world like a bioweapon? Because that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. It was a virus that was unleashed on the world because it was bio warfare. This is after they've hacked everybody's system, stole IP, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was haphazardly released prematurely. That's my speculation. But you can't tell me. Occam's razor, guys. Sometimes the easiest explanation is the correct one. Didn't bring that up. Didn't bring up any issue with TikTok. Didn't even broach the topic of the Uyghurs that they're imprisoning in the Xinjiang province up in northwestern China. Didn't even bring that up, which I find incredibly interesting that the next day Biden comes out and issues this statement after being pressured by the squad and the terrorist-loving Hamas lovers within the Democrat Party, which some of the people in the Democrat Party, by the way, just need to change the D after their name to H to signify that they're registered Hamas mouthpieces. That being said, no statement from Joe Biden the next day on China's treatment of Uyghurs, while he's also simultaneously trying to excoriate the ally in the Middle East for accidentally during a precision strike in a war zone, killing 7 aid workers. The 7th person was a Gazan driver. And I also noticed, too, because I saw this headline as well. Israel, they had a very contrite apology. They fired 2 military commanders. They reprimanded a third over the drone attack. And do you know who Joe Biden fire when he droned 10 people to death in Afghanistan? Do you guys remember? Who was it that Joe Biden fired when he killed a bunch of people, innocent people, including babies, in Afghanistan? I want to know. The president who indiscriminately droned a bunch of random innocent people in Afghanistan. Shall I share with you the story? Yes. New York Times. Newly declassified video shows the United States killing of 10 civilians in a drone strike. This was in January of 2022. So we take 20 years to reinstall the Taliban in Afghanistan. And we exit spectacularly by killing a family that includes children, leaving our allies behind to die at Bagram at the hands of the newly installed Taliban. And then we have the audacity to lecture an ally in the Middle East for taking a couple of months to root out the infestation that is Hamas. Really stunning. And last but not least, the third part of all of this that we're going to get into as well, is Ukraine joining NATO. That's what Anthony Blinken said. There's zero benefit to Ukraine joining NATO. In fact, there's zero benefit to NATO. As we get moving, our partners that help bring you free radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals. Gold Co. wants to make sure that you understand, number one, the gold IRA field, right? Number two, they also want to make sure that you understand how to acquire gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. And they know it's very difficult to find a precious metals company that you can trust. It's not easy. So this is why you should turn to Gold Co. They have a very unique quality. They have an education first position. They want to provide you with all the information they can to make it easy to understand the economy, how these gold IRAs work, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. This is an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They have unmatched customer service, no pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee as well. So learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your free 2024 gold kit from Gold Co. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started at DanaLikesGold.com. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
All they want to do is keep you poor and stupid. Some in the media are trying to tell you it's bad if your prices go down, causing a deflation spiral. If prices go down, are people really going to hold off on?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, I'm going to pull it up. First up here, we have Bidenomics. Ford's delaying the all-electric SUV to focus on offering hybrid vehicles. Now, they joined Toyota and a number of other manufacturers who have been doing this. They're going to have all of these more hybrid vehicles across their lineup by 2030 because those are selling better than EVs. That's just the simple fact of it. People like to have a little bit more freedom, and they like to have, you know, just kind of like a safety net, especially, you know, if it's cold or there's not a charging station in their rural area. So that's just one of the latest manufacturers to do this. World's largest digital camera the size of a car was built, and it could photograph a golf ball from 15 miles away. Well, that's great. I thought we were going to have flying cars and a cure for all kinds of diseases, but no, instead it's a car-sized digital camera, and for the purpose of photographing golf balls 15 miles away. Kane never thought we needed it. The world is saved. Look at that. Inflation gone. All our problems gone. Biden has closed in on banning menthol cigarettes, even though civil rights groups oppose it. They say that it punishes African-American and Hispanic communities and small businesses. And I got to tell you, I am fascinated by this is just a factual observation, the demographic lines drawn over menthol. Menthol cigarettes. Isn't it like smoking scope? I don't get it. I literally do not get the whole menthol thing. And I don't know why it's predominantly more so the black community of menthols than it's just the wildest thing to me. So civil rights groups are saying that it's racist, and they've been attacking Biden. Biden really doesn't want the black vote, I guess. I'd be out there throwing menthols at everybody. Be like, here it is, free menthols. That's how bad he needs the vote. Stick with us. We got a lot today, guys. We got a lot. We're going to stack you up for the weekend. Back in a moment.
I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
We also held our second NATO-Ukraine Council. We reaffirmed that Ukraine's future is in NATO. Our goal now is to create a bridge to Ukraine's full membership, offering additional support and greater cooperation as Ukraine makes the reforms necessary to join the alliance.
It's not necessary for Ukraine to join the alliance. Not at all. I mean, it's just kind of shocking, honestly, all of this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That was Antony Blinken yesterday talking about the issue of Ukraine joining NATO. It's the craziest thing. U.S. and NATO officials were meeting in Brussels this week to discuss support for Ukraine. And after the meeting, Blinken told the press, quote, Ukraine's going to be a member of NATO. Our purpose. Well, you heard him say it. Over a chapter and verse, there are a few pieces about this, including how War Inc. unveils plan to circumvent the voter commander-in-chief to fund forever war in Ukraine, because that's what they were discussing while they were over there. They were scared, they said, that they're nervous because they want to Trump-proof any kind of system they got going with funding Ukraine, nonstop forever war. And so they were trying to establish, they have the Ukraine Defense Contact Group that they created in spring of 22, and they were bringing together, you know, these defense chiefs, etc. And Lloyd Austin apparently is in charge of it. You know, the guy who just disappears and doesn't tell people that he's not coming into work that day. Lloyd Austin, the guy who was there overseeing Afghanistan and our disastrous exit, that Lloyd Austin makes you feel great, right, about the future of our country and all of our maneuvers and foreign policy. Just, you know, such confidence. And now apparently this whole operation, it's Lloyd Austin, these NATO officials, they said that they're Trump-proofing it so that they can still have, they didn't say that verbatim, but that's what they're doing. They want to have this contract group under a foreign, it's essentially under a foreign power where you got money and munitions still going to Ukraine no matter who's in the White House. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. And so they met in Brussels. This was yesterday. Blinken goes out and tells the press this. There is zero benefit at all whatsoever And this is the third thing of what I was telling you with these war drums beating. There's zero benefit at all whatsoever of Ukraine joining NATO. You don't bring your baggage into NATO. You don't have land disputes and try to bang on NATO's door, right? And think about this. If Ukraine is made a member nation, an attack in Ukraine would force World War III upon us quicker than you could blink. Their depletion of funds and munitions doesn't give them the right and isn't just cause for them to demand access to our taxpayer dollars and our American lives as resupply. We're not a blank check for Ukraine. We are not the pantry for Ukraine. You got college kids? You got college kids that go to college, they come back and they go shopping in your pantry? Okay, that's not Ukraine doing that to the U.S. We're not doing that. But that's exactly what they want to set it up as. I mean, this situation with Ukraine and the idea that, well, yeah, they could, you know, they could join NATO. Why should they join NATO? That was the red line, by the way. There was never any official agreement with Russia to not have other nations join NATO, this eastward expansion. There was never any official agreement where people signed. The only thing that Russia demanded, you know, we don't want Ukraine to join. And I hate that you can't even have a conversation and get into the nuance of these issues without neocon psyop out there and War Inc. accusing everyone who doesn't join in with them and beating the war drums of being a Russian plant or Putin adjacent. I'm so tired of this stuff. We're more American than War Inc. is, but yet, you know, this is what we got. You can't even ask questions. We literally had a war and overthrew a government because we didn't want to be dominated by a military. But nowadays we got War Inc. and the neocons telling us that we can't explore what's actually happening here and who's trying to manipulate us with what information and what's the veracity of this information without having our characters impugned and our patriotism questioned. I'm really tired of it. So Russia didn't want Ukraine to enter NATO. And I really don't know the purpose of NATO anymore, if I'm being honest. NATO, the idea that NATO, first off, is a threatening entity is ridiculous. NATO, and Trump expanded NATO, but it wasn't, like, these were all former Eastern Bloc countries that were begging to join NATO. That's the expansion of NATO, okay? That's the expansion. So I don't see why that's, and a lot of these countries, in fact, the biggest members, if you remember, Trump had a huge argument with Angela Merkel. That one photo where he's sitting at the table with his arms crossed and she's glaring at him because he was demanding that they spend the bare minimum percentage of GDP on their own defense. That's the thing. In order to be in NATO, you have to spend a certain percentage of your GDP, just making sure that you can handle your own business. Okay. And they were grinding their teeth at having to do that. NATO is a welfare purse for Europe. That's what it is. I don't feel bad in saying such because it's true. The United States is supposed to finance everything. The United States is supposed to provide the muscle, the bulk of everything. And then we're supposed to hand it off to foreign commanders, you know, for the sake of, you know, sharing and cooperation. So it's not a threat. And I don't think Russia's a threat either because they're broke as all get out. They're running a war of attrition right now in Ukraine because they have the people to feed through the machine. Although they're running out of young people, so they're having to draft the old ones. The idea that they are some sort of imperial threat like the days of yore is something that War Inc. tells itself to help itself fall asleep at night so they can have good dreams. The biggest threat is imperial China. If you want to discuss who has imperialistic tendencies and desires, it's China. But for whatever reason, we keep having to go back and say it's Russia. You don't have to like Russia, and you can still think their commie is the day is long, because they are. But that doesn't mean they have imperialistic tendencies that they're trying to force over on the rest of the world. I'm just going to say it. Why am I supposed to care about a territorial dispute all the way over there? This is where geopolitics, this is where people who get it and people who don't, this is where it's evident. I don't care about your feelings. I don't care about your blah, blah, blah. I don't care. This is about the interests of the United States of America, and literally nothing else matters in the realm of geopolitics. Nothing else matters. What does it benefit? I had Nikki Haley on the show back when she was still running, and she was trying to tell me that Russia was very concerned about eastward expansion and they didn't want NATO countries on their borders. And I'm like, Now, you were in the United Nations. You know, the Baltic states are NATO members, and they are Latvia, Estonia, and they're on Russia's borders and have been. Are people counting on all of you not knowing basic geography? I don't get it. But they're trying to tell us that, oh my gosh, Russia just wants to conquer everybody else. I don't buy that. I don't believe it. Again, I think that's a neocon war ink argument. And this, the problem, you know, these, the countries that have been added into NATO, these militaries are tiny and they're not well funded. I mean, good grief, their defense overall is small and not well funded. If anything were to happen, it would be the U.S. and it would be France and Germany and Britain. That would be, or the U.K., that would be the entities that they are demanding that everybody help them out. Like Turkey, you know, good grief. And I don't even know if you could have a good defensive front with NATO. Because there's some political realities that make it difficult. This whole thing, though, with the expansion of NATO and everything else, again, all of that is Eastern Bloc countries that were begging to be included in NATO. NATO didn't go out and, you know, wage a war and take over land. They didn't do that. Now, I do think that Russia has been expanding. I think that they have puppets and they're causing chaos in Moldova. Then you have Belarus, where they have a puppet in place there, and they did take they took over the Georgian region. But the idea that I think that they would extend beyond that, I don't buy it. Here's the other question too: what is the interest in the United States for the United States in Ukraine joining NATO? They're broke. Their military is depleted. What do we get out of it? If you can't ask that question, you should not be involved in the negotiations of NATO. You shouldn't be involved in the negotiations in a geopolitical forum, period. Because those are the types of questions that you have to ask. You're there for one reason only: to advance the interests of your country. And what do your people get out of it? This isn't welfare. Wrong W. It's war. Or at least making sure that we have good food footing. I don't want to go to war with anybody. I don't like war. I am anti-war. War is a last resort with me. But I'm anti-war, but if we have to be drugged into war as a last recourse, I want everything destroyed for generations in advance. I want everything turned to glass. I want to take over the land and turn it into a parking lot and watch Joni Mitchell cry. I don't care. That's what should happen. If you're going to do it, then you go all in so that everyone else is too terrified to ever risk having another one again. I just don't know. I really wish, because I still think that China is the biggest threat. And this is what, you know, we don't get discussions out of this administration. We're not making any overtures to India. You know, India displaced China as the most populous country. Their birth rate is exceeding that of China. I was having a conversation with my son about the birth rates of different nations and how, you know, there's really only a handful of nations, including Pakistan and India, that are actually maintaining and going above their birth rate, and everybody else is falling dangerously, abysmally low. U.S. is barely maintaining it. Italy's fallen below. China's desperately fallen below. Russia's fallen below. That's why they implemented this national program to get more people to have kids. Hungary was the same way. It's welfare. You know, we tried that here in the U.S. and it worked spectacularly, didn't it? That's why I don't understand why some conservatives are wanting to do it here. But this India displacing China, India could be a great ally. I don't know why this administration is not making more overtures to India. If you're going to admit a country, you know, and have, you know, make it countries that can bring something to the table. Otherwise, what's the purpose of NATO? It's a clique of people, half of whom can barely pull their own weight, and they all look to three countries to bail them out every single time. It sounds mean, but I don't care. That's the truth of it. Oh, but you can't talk about it, because if you talk about NATO being ineffective, that's Russia adjacent. It's not Russia adjacent. It's a condemnation of leaders who want to avoid culpability, and they want to avoid the consequence of their own poor leadership and bad actions, and so they're going to blame the people rightfully questioning them. And questioning their patriotism by saying you're aligned with the enemy because you point out our mistakes. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm all for let Ukraine fight and do whatever they're going to do. We have no business being involved in it, and we definitely have no business admitting Ukraine to the clique. The clique that has never won an inch of land by conquering it. The clique that half of the countries in there can't even pull their own weight militarily or with defensive spending. And what has it done? I don't get it. It's a remnant of the Cold War. And we need to, in this new era, refine our thinking a little bit. And I think we need to shift our perspectives and look at the bigger enemy here, which is Imperial China. That is a threat. People are not taking it seriously enough, at least in the Biden administration, because they seem to think it's totally fine. They've been, you can tell, look at this. They talk this game about Russia, but then they immediately, oh no, Taiwan, we don't recognize it as its own country. I told Kane on break, something's got them spooked. Something has them spooked. I don't know what, but that was a pretty big three things like that all in one day. And then particularly considering what they were, those are pretty big things. We have more on the way, including we'll come back to this topic, but we also have some cultural issues as well to discuss. Law and Order, Eclipse Mania. Oh, boy. Yeah, you knew that was coming. It's apparently getting out of hand with the Airbnbs. And jeans. Jeans, they say, are bad for the environment now. Oh, how ironic, because jeans were the symbol of freedom during the Cold War. I'll explain. We got a lot to discuss.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Six individuals tragically lost their lives when the Francis Scott King Bridge collapsed last week.
I think she's thinking of Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s widow, and not the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Seriously? Tyranny? The Nordstrom pipeline? That lady? Yeah. Can she just get one thing right? I'm just, you know, I'm asking for all of us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're getting ready to roll into the second hour. It's been nonstop headlines about the earthquake. I don't know, maybe, did you guys hear? New York had an earthquake. They had an earthquake. What was it, like 4 point something? Everybody's okay. There's no, nothing was damaged. Some things shook. And their wall-to-wall coverage. Because anytime anything happens to a city where the press is, look what happened to us! And they lose their minds. If it snows, wall-to-wall coverage. You know, meanwhile, like people in Duluth are sitting there, you know, on their porch in shorts, 20 degree weather, watching the snow come down, you know, eating a snow cone. They're like, what? I don't know. I had this thought. How quickly people will go feral and lose their minds and stop cooperating and forget the basic rules of a polite society if they lose something. Like, have you ever been to a four-way stop when the lights are out? This happened to us over the weekend. Happened to me over the weekend. I feel like I needed to get out and be traffic cop because nobody knows what to do. They don't know what to do. Oh my gosh. They all get up and it's like, me, you go, me, go. I don't know. I literally watched this woman drive up in her SUV and she's sitting there and I could just read her face. I don't know what to do. Do I go? I don't know. She goes a little bit, stops. I'm like, are you trying to scooch, you know, into the middle of the intersection? Nobody knows what to do. Then the honking starts. And I literally like roll down my window and I'm like, okay, you go. You get to go. It's your turn. You got ready. I mean, this is not hard. Take turns. People lose their minds. What would happen if it was like a really serious earthquake? Because I feel like who we are now is not who we were 20 years ago. And I don't trust nobody. I don't trust a single person to keep a straight head on their shoulders. I do not. Everyone's going to lose their minds. Oh, my word. The professor explains the cause of the earthquake. Really? We know what caused the earthquake. We know what did it. I watched a video of this woman. I was telling Kane, like a minute and 50 seconds, she was recording her bushes swaying, her shrubs in her yard. It's an earthquake. And her shrubs were shaking a little bit. Some of the tree branches were swaying. I'm like, that. Have you seen California? Just, you know, out of curiosity. I don't know. I get it. They've never endured anything like that, but come on. It's a little bit like wall to wall. They had Hochul give a presser, and I guess Eric Adams is going to be given a presser. I don't know. But my heavens, we have a lot more on the way, including now they're trying to tell you jeans are bad for the environment, which is so weird because during the Civil War, jeans were the ultimate symbol of freedom. Wait until you hear this story. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, our friends over at Field of Greens. Not everyone gets the nutrients that they should, that their body needs every single day. And this is where Field of Greens come in. They make it easy because you just have one scoop into 8 ounces of water or maybe milk or make a smoothie with it. And you're going to get your requirement, your body's allotment of fruits and vegetables, all the healthy stuff that you need, fiber, probiotics, all that good stuff. And with Field of Greens, it's not a supplement. I mean, it's actually a food. Just because it's in powder form, don't think that, you know, it's a supplement. It's not. It was specially formulated by physicians to tackle all of these things that your body needs. Each vegetable included was medically selected for its specific health benefit. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. And you're going to notice the difference, whether it's with digestion or maybe all of it, skin, hair, nails, everything. You notice when your body is getting everything it needs to fuel it to keep going, and Field of Greens will help with that. So they want to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. It's promo code Dana at Field of Greens. Field of Greens for better health.
Well, both things can be true. I mean, you can continue to have a rock solid, unwavering support for Israel because of the neighborhood they're living in and the threats they're facing, but take issue with the way in which they are conducting these particular operations. And that's the discussion that they had yesterday. The president made it clear there have been too many civilian casualties. There's too much risk to humanitarian aid workers. There's not enough aid getting in.
God, I say little like he's like, he's younger than me. So I'm like, oh, baby Juan. Grown man Juan. I'm so sorry because he's running around doing this stuff. And I'm like, all right, I'm done with this video already. We got to get into it. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. What are they supposed to do? John Kirby, who was in that position when we had our disastrous exit from Afghanistan. Maybe you guys recall the people literally falling from the plane in the sky, chasing the giant planes as they were taking off from Bagram. Maybe you guys remember that. I don't know. It's pretty viral video. And they're 20 years in Afghanistan. And now John Kirby and the War Inc. Council in the DOD and Pentagon are acting like, well, we are experts, you see. We haven't won a war in how long? The only thing that we're good at is disastrous exits. So we are the experts on this. If Israel wanted counsel on a disastrous exit, they could go and ask John Kirby and Lloyd Austin and Milley and all those cats. They could go and ask them, right? If they wanted that, which I don't think they do. It's taken them a couple of months to root out terrorists, Hamas in Gaza, and we don't like that. This could have been over a lot sooner. First off, did I welcome everyone back? We just got into it. Dana Lash, you can listen coast to coast. It's Friday. Steve and I are both insanely caffeinated today. And Kane's just chill over there in the dark. What do you do over there? Kane's just chilling, pressing buttons. And you can listen coast to coast. You can watch us on X now. We're on X. You know, you can find us there, everywhere else. Channel 347, DirecTV. This is what I was talking about when I've said previously that you have people in these positions, with whether it's in the DOD or the Pentagon, people who cannot make the tough calls that need to be made. They want to focus group everything. They want to run every decision by to check its political viability instead of doing what is best for the lives of our soldiers, best for our strategy, best for our objective, best for our resources. And they drag everything out. This would have been done a long time ago if Netanyahu and Israel did not listen to the United States. So I'm saying let them do what they need to do. They are more than capable of handling it. But it's getting drug out because you have the United States and all these weenies in the world, in the international community. Oh, but maybe you should think of the terrorists and Hamas, and maybe you should think of Gaza. Hamas didn't think of it. And, you know, I got a question, how many people in Gaza thought of it also, considering the polls and the elections and the fact that many of them were housing hostages? Kind of got to ask, you know, when I read stories about woman after woman getting raped in some kid's bedroom or some couple's living room and all this, it's kind of got to wonder. This would have been done, but it had to get slow walked because Netanyahu was listening to Joe Biden. Now, Netanyahu is getting a lot of criticism in Israel, even from people who were very supportive of him, because they're saying you slow walk this. This could have been done earlier. And they're right. They could have. They've been delaying this Rafah offensive because there are apparently some battalions of Hamas still at Rafah. And of course, that's southern Gaza. Near the entry to Egypt. Egypt is not allowing anybody to come in. They got that checkpoint on lock. They got a wall. It's on lock. They're not letting anybody come in. So they're talking about how are we going to evacuate, you know, these people that have fled from northern Gaza. How are we going to evacuate them? Jordan doesn't want them. Syria doesn't want them. Lebanon doesn't want them. Egypt doesn't want them. UAE doesn't want them. Saudi Arabia doesn't want them. Qatar doesn't want them. Oh, Qatar only wants the leaders of Hamas. They don't want, like, the poors. Nobody wants them. Because the last time that Gazans went into Lebanon, you can go and look at the history as to the destabilization that occurred after. It's weird because when you raise people generationally thinking that terrorism is an acceptable form of government and that to hate to Jews, it's kind of weird how they, like, bring those practices with them when they're relocated. And that's exactly what happened. That's history. So there's, you know, Israel's, they should not have to focus group and do the political means testing of their self-defense with people whose interests aren't Israel's citizens, but their own. Israel needs to do what's best for Israelis. And if that means blowing in and kicking butt and just letting the Lord figure it out after, then that's what needs to be done, because this has gone on for too long. These people are going to cost more lives because they're insisting on the slow walking of this. And that's the reality of it. And so you got John Kirby saying, well, you know, they're just got to take way in which we're conducting these operations. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 8. Kirby says that he didn't even offer any suggestions. Well, they got to be they have to have changes or we're not going to support them anymore. Listen.
Frank discussion, but the president was very clear that if we don't see meaningful changes in the policy approaches by the Israeli government, there's going to have to be meaningful changes in our own policy approach to Gaza.
Well, what would that be? What kind of changes do they expect Israel to? What do you talk? I don't know. Maybe you could put like the implements of some explosives, you know, like supplies that they need to make bombs under a box that's propped up with a stick and then have a string on the stick and trap them that way. I mean, what are you talking about doing? Are you talking about sending them flowers and begging them to surrender? What is he talking about? What does he think? How does he think this is going to go down? Hamas deliberately ceded the field like this. They ceded the battlefield like this to where there are civilians everywhere and they don't care. And the civilians apparently don't care because that's why they keep voting for them. Voted for them in 2006, overwhelmingly support them in the latest polls, December 23, early March this year. So I don't know what they get. Chris Murphy, audio soundbite 12. Senator Chris Murphy saying that Israel, well, they do have a right to defend themselves, but listen.
Listen, I agree with President Biden. Hamas needs to be dislodged from Gaza. Israel has a right to defend itself. I believe that from the very beginning, but this cost is just too high.
What cost is too high? Was the cost too high when Hamas attacked Israel? Where was the international condemnation of Hamas and demanding that, oh, well, you guys can't do that. You guys, what you did to Israel. I mean, there was none. It's because and it has nothing to do with dislike of Israeli government. These people have a problem with Jewish people. There's a difference. They do this Mott and Bailey, you know, where they go out and they make this grandiose claim and then they retreat to a safer claim that's more easily defensible. They have a problem with Jewish people. And then when called out on it, they retreat to the, oh, no, it's just the Israeli government line. Of course, they can't give you anything specific as to why they have issue with particularly with this particular Israeli government, because they can't. It's just about their dislike of Jews. I mean, it's still alive and well. Here it is all these years later in 2024, and we're still dealing with this BS. The cost is too high. What's the cost? War is hell. Hamas shouldn't have chosen it. That's the issue. That's the problem. But what are they supposed to do? Like, did they didn't give any suggestions. Is there an alternative way to make Hamas stop killing people? Is there an alternative way to make them stop gang raping women to death? Does John Kirby have any suggestions on that? Why didn't a member of the press stand up indignantly and ask that? Good grief. Just shameful. It's shameful. I wanted to share this piece with you. I found this interesting. This headline about how apparently now jeans guys are, well, they're problematic now. Jeans. These climate freaks. Scientists say that wearing jeans is bad for the environment. A study reveals that wearing a pair just once is the equivalent to driving a car for 6.4 miles. What? Oh, yes, that's exactly it. Of course, it's a Chinese university of technology, of course, because, you know, there isn't any interest in China and that China has in making you abandon, you know, all of your daily habits for a quote unquote green lifestyle. But they say that the genes has a significant impact on the environment. Do you know that their cobalt mining probably does, too? But they didn't do a study on that. Weird. This is ironic. You have a communist nation that's trying to tell you that wearing jeans is problematic for the environment, which I think is fascinating. I want to tell you this story. There was this in Britain. There is this show. It's like a gardening show. And this, you know, older dude named Alan Titchmarsh hosts it. And it's Garden Secrets. It's the BBC. And apparently it's one of the only things that North Korea will actually air that is a foreign program. And they consider it, I guess, wholesome enough to air it on North Korean state TV. Because remember, they got one channel. And it's been running since 2022. But what's interesting is that this guy's pants have been blurred out. And if the blur wasn't blue, you would think that maybe they blurred it out because he was naked from the waist down or something. The reason that that North Korean television blurred it out is because jeans are considered a symbol of U.S. imperialism, according to the North Korean government. Now, this is not the first time it's been thought that. North Korea has a major problem with the jeans because of what they symbolize. And they do symbolize not imperialism, but freedom. Freedom in finance, freedom in personal expression. And this goes all the way back to the early 80s in East Germany, where denim, where blue jeans was verboten. You weren't allowed. They had a whole socialist style guide. And blue jeans were not part of it. It was a very American thing. And even though that they tried to stop it with trade bans and restrictions on what kind of clothing could be imported beyond the Iron Curtain, they were the most popular clothing item in Eastern Germany. And there's a reason why. And I was reading this photographer. He wrote, he was taking some of the pictures there when the wall fell. And he had, he himself had made note that particularly amongst the East Berliners, everyone was in blue jeans. And they were in blue jeans for a reason, because this was considered a very expensive item beyond the Iron Curtain, because it was banned, you know, because it was considered a form of Americanism, westernized, you know, Western values, freedom. And there was, and they all wore them. They all wore them when the wall was falling down. And so there are these pictures of all these teenagers and youth and even young adults and older adults that were sitting on the wall, and they were all in jeans. And there's a reason for that. And they said that the pants that they wanted everyone to wear was called the riveted trouser, and it was produced by the East German Youth Fashion House. That's what they wanted everyone to wear. And Levi's and Wranglers, they were scarce and expensive. People would trade. They had all kinds of stuff. Whenever people would go in to visit friends or family, or if they did some kind of work in East Germany or East Berlin, they would go and they would smuggle in jeans, and they could, you know, sell them for quite a lot of money. And they bartered. They had a barter, and not just for that, but for a lot of music and all of that stuff as well. But jeans were, it was a symbol of power. It was a symbol of freedom. It was a symbol of emancipation on the other side of the Iron Curtain. And they were a very free thing. And there's several, I think there's actually a book on fashion related to the Iron Curtain and the Eastern Bloc and all of that. But it's fascinating, because now you can sort of understand, because apparently they just noticed that North Korea started blurring out this guy's pants because they were jeans. Because they were jeans. So it's one of the funniest things. It's one of the oddest things ever. But now you can see it. They don't want people to see what he's wearing, to see that symbol. But yeah, that was the big prized thing. And I just find that incredibly interesting, very coincidental, that here you have North Korea short stack down there. They want to ban jeans. They don't allow jeans. They don't even allow them represented in a simple garden show, just like they wouldn't allow them beyond the Iron Curtain, because they had meaning. They meant something, the humble pair of pants. We have more to get into as we roll into headlines. The Sub 2K Gen 3 is shipping now. In the Gen 3 version, there's some upgrades to this. I have the previous versions. Plural. It's a 9mm carbine. The Gen 3, like I said, shipping now. You don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half. The previous ones you did, but you don't have to. This is one of the upgrades on Gen 3. Simple twist and fold motion. It has a patent-pending rotating forend. Folds it right in half. Also quickly and easily deploys it too. And they have the upgraded aluminum trigger redesigned mechanics for a lighten pull, so you get more precise feedback, upgraded action. They have a redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action, so you can easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, new chamber indicator. It's just an awesome, awesome, awesome carbine. You got to check it out. It's the Sub 2K. I love mine. I want the Gen 3 now, and it's shipping now, and you can find it at keltecweapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Powerball is now at $1.2 billion. How much of that goes to the government in tax? I don't even want to think about it. No big winner yet. No big winner. For some reason, eye syphilis is on the rise. Isn't it just like syphilis? Yeah, like, is it specifically eye syphilis? Apparently. I don't want to know how this is happening. I don't want to read this headline anymore. Some people need Jesus. Need Jesus. This is a crazy story. So a former University of Iowa hospital employee used a fake identity for 35 years, Matthew Kearns. He was convicted, finally, punishable by 30 years in prison. But the crazy thing is that the guy that whose identity he stole, he's the one who ended up getting actually arrested for it. And he could not, he was trying to prove his identity. And they were the ones who were, law enforcement charged him with identity theft and false impersonation. Long story short, he had to get it figured out. And now the other guy finally is going to prison. That's the craziest, oh my gosh. And they're saying that people aren't getting enough fiber. And that's why colon cancer is rising in younger people. Eat your fiber, guys. Stick with us. If you are not drinking Black Rifle Coffee, I am so sorry that you are having a less patriotic caffeine experience than I am, because it's almost like it's packed by eagles. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they had actual American bald eagles that are protected and they have a thing set up where they pack it and roast the beans themselves. Veteran-owned, veteran-run, and they're dedicated to supporting veteran and first responder causes. And unlike a lot of other people out there that try to bite off this bit, they actually roast their beans themselves here in the U.S. of A. They don't just white label it after it's roasted in a foreign country. They roast it. And these are veterans in active duty that also work at Black Rifle Coffee. So you're creating American jobs, but veteran jobs as well. Jobs for people to transition to after they come back from combat. Every bag, like I said, roasted in the U.S. of A. My favorite roast right now is the Tactus Squatch. I am living and breathing Tactus Squatch right now. Sometimes I go back towards Silence or Smooth, but that's just been my jam lately. When you join the coffee club, you can choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up on your front porch magically. Free shipping too, by the way, with the coffee club. More affordable than any of the bougie, worst tasting stuff at the grocery store. Best coffee you'll have. So try it for yourself. And when you use code Dana, you're going to get 20% off. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today. Join the coffee club. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana. BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is just, man, we got, I didn't know what hat I was wearing. We got bigger targets. I mean, when you look at who just Planet Fitness, like, what are they doing? Like, Ben and Jerry's, I don't want to put any targets on people's back. Target, like, I talked to the dudes from Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, the CEO, and the people, like, man, they messed up. It's too bad they just won't say it. Like, hey, we messed up a little bit, you know, whatever, but that's not how they're cut. And, you know what? I got my answer, and I don't want to hurt people's jobs and stuff like that.
It's not you hurting people's jobs,
kid. They don't have
any
dog
in
the fight, but there's a whole lot more companies we should be going after for sure.
Yeah, and Bud's one of them. All they got to do is be like, yo, we're sorry. We didn't mean to insult all y'all ladies who also liked our product. I mean, that's not my cut to go ahead and just like grant somebody a pass when they haven't taken account of what they did. And they never said, you know, yeah, we messed up. They never said that. So that's what it costs. That's my cut. That's what it costs. Otherwise, I'm not going to drink your piss baby beer. Not going to happen. I can say that, right? Because I did. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. If I didn't, Steve got it. It's all right. I got a pass with Brent. I can say it. I'm messing with you guys. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this second hour. Why are we doing this? Why are we given? It's not about, you're not hurting their jobs. It's Bud Light that chose to do that. That's Budweiser that chose to do that. Budweiser chose to hurt people's jobs because they decided to get this dude who is thinner than Twiggy to get up and promote their product. And they made a mockery of women by having this guy cosplay as one. Like, very insultingly so, by the way. And all they had to do was say sorry. That's all they had to do. Why is that so bad? It's an ego thing is why. It's an ego thing. I mean, why are you going to bat for Bud? Because how much does it cost for you to go to bat for Bud? What's the price? You know that's what it is. I don't begrudge people for being capitalists, but don't sit here and be like, oh, it's all okay, because they gave us money. I didn't get an apology. I don't even want no money. It don't even take millions. I just want, we messed up, we're sorry. That's all I want. You have to, in order to have reconciliation, you got to have an acknowledgement of the wrong. That's biblical, guys. I mean, you know, that's just the process. That's the cut. Just saying. I don't get to why they're... Steve, you made... I told you to ask this question. What were you asking? Go ahead and do it.
No, for those who don't know, me and Juan and Kane all caught the audio and video before the show starts, and the first thing I noticed is that he had a southern accent. And didn't he have a whole song about being from northern Michigan? I was like, what?
Yeah. See, he's like, how are you having a southern accent, dude? You're from northern Michigan. He's from the top of the mitten, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty up there.
Oh, yeah.
What part of the mitten was he from? That bougie part? Where they had like the real nice restaurants,
like,
and it was like
Mackinac Island, is that what you mean?
I don't know up there. I've been up there one time. It's very pretty.
Like the Upper Peninsula?
It all looked pretty. I was like, oh, here's another pretty town.
Traverse City?
Yeah, like it was like north of Traverse, though. It was like up by the tip of the finger of the mitten. That's not accurate. I don't know how.
It's got to be like Paradise, Michigan or something like that.
I don't know. It was real pretty. Can I tell you guys a funny story? Okay, sidebar real quick, and we'll get back to everything. So it was like a television episode almost. So we go up there. We went up there for my husband was in a wedding. That's why we were up there. Go up, we land in Traverse City. First off, the airport in Traverse City, I thought that I had stumbled through, like, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, except it take from taking me to a whole different reality. It took me to like somebody's lodge, because when you get off the airplane, you expect to walk into an airport, right? I legit was like walking past a stone fireplace and some plush leather chairs. And I looked at my husband. I'm like, we are in somebody's house. It was the weirdest thing. It's a very small airport, very pretty. So we get there and we rented a car and we're leaving the airport and we drive past this place that I insisted we had to go in. We were right there by the lake. And I wanted to make this stop because it was a very unique business idea. And I wanted to see in the inside of it. It was an ice cream parlor and taxidermy shop, right? Now, it was like dusky dark when we went in. By the time we left, it was dark outside. We go in there and there was these, you know, adorably taxidermied critters. Like I saw three badgers and a raccoon paddling in a canoe that was actually like a hollowed out log, and it was really cute. It's adorable. All the animals were posing, very cute little things. Got my ice cream. I'm looking at the taxidermy. You know, God bless America. Wishing I could take some of it back with me. And then we leave. We go out, and there's this huge covered area, picnic tables, and there was no lights out. It was just, you know, you'd see the moonlight and then the light from the store. And this huge area with the pitched peak and all of that. And we're sitting there, and my husband gets this look on his face as we're eating our ice cream. And it's a look of, should I tell her horror? And ladies, you know what that expression looks like on a man's face. Because at first when he was staring at me, I thought, you know, I'm a woman. I was like, oh, he probably thinks I'm so pretty. It wasn't that at all. And then his expression changed, and it just got very scared looking. And he goes, why don't we go step by the car and eat these? And I go, what do you mean? I'm like, we were sitting on a picnic table. A light breeze was coming in. It was so nice. And he's like, no, I think we should just go by the car and eat these, you know, and get ready to go. And I still had like my whole cone. I wasn't going to take a whole ice cream cone into the car, right? A car that I had just rented. No. And I'm like, just chill out. We're not in a race. We don't have to be there by a certain time. And he's like, no, I really think that we need to go. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And then he told me what he should never have said. Don't look up. So when you're told, don't look up, what are you going to do? Look up. I looked up. And at first, as my eyes were adjusting to the darkness, I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. Because all I could see were the rafters and the darkness of this huge pitched, you know, covering eating area. And it was big. There was a number of picnic tables out there. And then I could see it, just the moonlight just bouncing off of what it looked like little, just like, darts of lightning all through this dark pitched area. And then I realized that wasn't darts of lightning. Is that a string? It was just tons of it all through this area. And then I realized what it was. We were sitting underneath a massive, massive spider nest and something, and those were all webs. Now, the scream that I emitted, at first it didn't make a sound, Chris said, because I blacked out pretty much, because there are three things that I don't like. I'm not really scared of anything except for three things. Spiders, crickets, and I'm not a fan of chimpanzees because I literally got into a slap fight with one when I was a child, and that's a story for another time. It's an irrational, unreasonable fear of spiders. I lost my mind. All I knew is that I pretty much blacked out. My ears hurt really bad after they rung because at some point the scream made noise. And I don't even know what happened to my ice cream cone at that point. It was gone. I think I threw it. I don't even know what happened. And then we were by the car and Chris is like, I told you not to look up. I'm like, you can't tell me not to look up. I could have died. We could have died to death. That's what could have happened.
They could have. They could have killed you so hard. You
I've seen Arachnophobia. Right. I saw that movie. Remember when Julian Sands, God rest his soul, he like kicked the bucket on Mount Baldy. Remember when he was in that barn and he looks up and it was all boo? It was like that. And so I had like arachnophobia going through my head. And I'm just freaking out. And then you feel like they're all over you. Oh, my gosh. But that's the thing about Michigan, the spiders there, they are lake spiders, apparently. I'm from Missouri, and now we're in Texas. We got scorpions, I can deal with that. I can even deal with rattlers. The spider thing and the lake effect spider stuff, and no thanks. No, you can have that all day long. So yeah, I couldn't deal with it after that, so that was it. But anyway, long story short, Kid Rock came from that area, but he talks like he's from Alabama. I don't know. Is that appropriation? Is it? I don't know. I just don't know why people are defending Bud Light. So they gave you millions of dollars. Just be like, okay, well, they're working with me, or they gave millions of dollars to my friend's business. So yeah, I'm going to defend them now. Just be honest. Because otherwise, they didn't say sorry and they didn't really do anything. But I don't want to destroy people's jobs. They chose that, not you. All they have to do to not destroy people's jobs is to go, we're sorry. Why is the onus put on everyone else who was like particularly the chicks that you'd like to get with, insulted by this cosplaying, twink, and you're going to go ahead and give them a pass? No apology? No, that's not how that works. No. We got to talk about eclipse mania coming up as well, Kane.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, all the Airbnbs are sold out in the strip.
I saw that.
Where I guess where it's going to pass or where you can see it the best. All the B&Bs apparently are sold out. We're going to discuss that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So sometimes bad things happen to good people, and sometimes good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things that could be good things happen to bad people. So a Florida man was arrested. He got into a fight with four guests at a Disney World resort, a bar there. Of course, it's a bar. He made fun of a guest that had Down syndrome, and he had his head beaten upside one side and down the other. Good. Sometimes people say stupid stuff and are mean and cruel and they deserve to get their butt whipped. And that's playground rules, right? Brent George was arrested and charged with four counts of battery. This 61-year-old was drunk at the bar. He downed three shots of bourbon and a beer. Are you serious? One shot and one beer, really. And he made his way to a table of four guests and made fun of a woman with Down syndrome. Her mother confronted him, asked if she was making fun of her daughter, and he shoved her, then slapped another guest at the table when she tried to intervene. And then there was like a slap off. But then an unnamed bystander grabbed him, removed him from the scene. And then this was after the husband stepped up and punched him repeatedly in the head because he deserved it. And then so the guy was taken to jail. Good. Good on him. Good on the husband stepping up and whooping this guy. Looks like he hit him pretty hard, too. So there you go. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I saw this story. I was watching this. This is crazy. So in Florida, you can put up fences. Don't people put up fences to try to keep gators out, especially if they live by waterways?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think those work.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Because this guy was filming a literal gator, literally climbing the fence.
What?
Climbing it. That's a picture of it. That's why I'm showing you on the simulcast. He's climbing the fence. Okay. Nobody's safe. What is happening, Florida? Get this under control, Florida. What is happening?
That's clearly why they put the fence up.
I know.
Keep them out.
And he's crawling up the fence. I can't even deal with it. Okay, I'm fine with gators. Not when they're on fences, though. When they're crawling up fences, that's when I'm out. But... yeah, apparently, this is what's happening. The alligator scaled the fence, and the man filmed him, and then it flopped its way over to the other side and escaped into the pond. So I'm like watching this video. This thing climbs up, literally climbs up, and it approaches the fence. This happens literally in under a minute. And it runs over to the fence. Scampers, how do they move quickly? I don't even know. What do you call it? He goes over to the fence. And then literally under a minute, he climbs the fence and he's over it. The gator. I didn't know they could do that. Why are you so scary, Florida? Why? Why are you so scary? Oh, all right. So I got a couple of others. I'm not reading this one. This guy got in trouble. Orlando Weekly has a story. He was ticketed after he ate pancakes in the middle of an intersection. This is Lakeland police. There was a guy who brought, you know, those old, like your grandma had, right? The old TV tray tables. He had an old TV table, although that one would work also. And he had some pancake syrup and a plate of pancakes. And he sat in the middle of an intersection and was eating pancakes. 21-year-old Kieran Thomas. They were able to find him later because he was tagged in the video that surfaced on Facebook. And he lives in a house like 100 yards from the intersection. He told officers it was a prank, but they charged him with placing an obstruction in the roadway and disrupting the free flow of traffic. So he went to court and everything. That was wild. Let's see. There's this guy who promised food and drugs to a panhandler but tortured her with a screwdriver and bat for months, police say. Yeah. It's a worker at a mobile gas station. He told WFLA TV that this woman, she staggered into the store on Monday, locked herself in the bathroom crying. She escaped from a van that had been parked at the Walgreens nearby. And then the guy at the mobile station noticed a guy driving the van away and then called the sheriff's office. She had been tortured and held against her will for months. She was a panhandler, and a guy offered to give her drugs and food in January. And then he would beat her with a baseball bat, and he would torture her with a screwdriver, and he kept her against her will for months. So they did arrest him, this dude. He's 48-year-old Walter Medina of Tampa. I can't believe he's 48 years old. He looks way older than that. But they got him for kidnapping, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer as well, because he wasn't going quietly, and robbery. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, were there other victims? I mean, that could not have been the first person that he did that with. And a Florida man was arrested after the airboat he was in piloting overturned in the Everglades when taking a sharp turn for a passenger to see a gator. So this is WTVJ, the NBC affiliate in Tampa. They didn't arrest release the identity of the driver, but they said that apparently he didn't complete a boat safety course and he didn't have a license to drive his boat. And the boat flipped over in the water so that he was trying to turn the boat so the passenger could get a look at the gator. And, oh, they got a good look at that gator, apparently. Thankfully, no one was injured. They just got minor scratches, but that was it. But can you imagine the terror? You'd take this sharp turn and, your airboat captain, not really captain, is letting you see this gator and you flip over in the water right by the gator. Good heavens. We have more in store. You don't want to miss third hour coming up.
Are you happy that you made that endorsement in 2020? Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
So The Rock says he's not going to endorse Biden again. I think a lot of people aren't liking Biden again, but we're still a bit of ways off from the election, so anything could happen. Unfortunately, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you at the top of this third hour, and we've talked we've been touching on the. A number of issues. In fact, we've been hitting the war drums beating. We talked about Ukraine and NATO and all of this stuff because it's what apparently was announced yesterday after all these leaders met in Brussels. Anthony Blinken came out and said that, you know, Ukraine's going to be a member of NATO. He didn't give a timeline for it, but he's, the fact that he said it is asinine. And then, of course, we had the ceasefire that Biden demanded from Israel, which is asinine to demand that when Hamas won't even negotiate on releasing hostages. And by the way, they also literally just rejected a ceasefire offer just what the other day. They rejected yet another one, but yet somehow still it's, I guess, all of that's on Israel to offer it and to try to negotiate to, I don't know. It's just, it's asinine. And then of course we had this situation with Taiwan where you had John Kirby say, no, we don't recognize, you know, Taiwan's independence or sovereignty or anything like that, bending a knee to China. So yeah, banner day for Democrats, banner day. And that's just on foreign policy. That's not even getting into the economics of everything, because nobody trusts him on any nothing with economics. And they don't trust him on the border as well. Apparently, he's being told by people in his campaign to just shut up about the border. Don't talk about it. It's bad for you. Just talk about the stuff that you can handle and that actually goes well for you. So they're trying to tell him to not even talk about border issues. This comes after, did you guys hear the story of Baltazar Perez Estrada, this guy who is an illegal immigrant? Did you hear this? Illegal immigrant who was arrested for murdering his 26-year-old wife. He stabbed her multiple times in front of their kids and tried to cut her head off. 32 years old. He attacked Marcela Franco after they got into an argument. And he stabbed her to death in her head, her body, dozens of times. And then he tried slicing off her head, according to prosecutors, in front of her kids, in front of their kids. So he was arrested and charged with murder. And one of the daughters walked into the bedroom where when they were fighting, and she saw her dad hitting her mom with a knife. That's what she told police, that he was hitting her with a knife. The victim's uncle said that she was planning on leaving him. They had been married for 9 years. Huh, I wonder why. And that she was planning on leaving him. He illegally entered from the U.S. at the southern border. Last month, he was released and given a future court date. And as you know, like 90% of those never actually come to fruition. Previously, he was living in Mexico. This comes after you had another guy stab and kill another woman and another, and these are people who actually have records and have entered illegally from the southern border. So Biden is told to not talk about the border because he can't handle it. Don't talk about the border. It's bad for your campaign. Don't talk about it. I keep seeing that repeated with some of their people. Don't talk about it. Now, the other thing with this, too, where was this at? Because I saw a Chicago alderman had said that tuberculosis, measles have created a crisis in these shelters, that when all these people that are being sent to Chicago and New York, et cetera, that enter the country illegally, they're sent up north. And apparently they're dealing with an outbreak of tuberculosis and measles. Chicago health officials have not disclosed the number of tuberculosis cases that they're dealing with. Raymond Lopez says he's concerned. He's the Democratic Chicago alderman. Lopez says that he's concerned that city officials have been inattentive because people are raising alarms about potential outbreaks after a number of tuberculosis cases were confirmed at these shelters in Chicago. He says that he's been warning officials about this since August. And that's when he was shown ambulance receipts that illustrated people testing positive for tuberculosis. And not only have health officials in the city not disclosed how many cases they're dealing with, they haven't even disclosed who's testing positive at what shelters. And there have been previously a number of, I mean, the CDC had sent, this is a piece, pull this up. This is a piece from actually beginning of this month. The CDC had sent a response team to one Chicago shelter because of a big measles outbreak. It was the Chicago Pilsen shelter. People who are coming in illegally from the southern border, when they're brought up to Chicago, they put them in the shelter. That's better than apparently staying down there in the processing center that everyone called the cage, Kane. And they said that CDC teams are going to help screen and vaccinate new arrivals at the Pilsen shelter after a number of measles cases were discovered. They said that they were screening residents for symptoms, etc., and they were worried about this outbreak. And apparently it was like spreading in the shelter, too. Good heavens. Good heavens. So they said that, you know, Lopez said this is a crisis we could have avoided. And if we had simply instituted, you know, the American standard of, because to get in the United States, you got to be vaccinated for, you know, measles, all this stuff. He goes, if we had just instituted the standard, you know what? If you had just instituted entry law, you could have avoided this. If you would have just said, no, I'm sorry, you can't just tiptoe across the shallow part of the Rio and step on U.S. soil and make a claim of asylum, or which you're not, it's not, you don't even qualify as an asylee. Or demand entry. That's not how this works. I mean, every country that I've ever been to, I mean, you are required to have, you know, you got to have all that. You got to have all that stuff. Gosh, you can't even take fruit. There's signs when you come in, you can't take your fruit past this point. It's wild. So, but this is okay, apparently, no, because it's the United States southern border. But it's a Democrat in Chicago. He says that that people are fed up. In Chicago, already so far this year, of the 97 measles cases nationwide, Chicago had 56 of them. Wow. And Lopez is saying, you're putting entire communities at risk. And he said one of his big areas of concern is the kids who are brought over with these adults. And then when they go to public schools, they get to apparently, they're allowed to skirt the vaccination requirements for measles and things like that. Now, I'm not having a debate about all vaccinations for kids. That's a whole other discussion. But measles and stuff, he's like, for your kid to go to public school and a lot of private schools that are mandatory, unless you're an illegal immigrant, and then they're waived. So even if you are like anti-vaccine totally, explain that. Why is there that? Why is there that preference for one over the other? That's wild. Now, he says Lopez, again, alderman, Democrat from Chicago, he has said that he has raised these concerns before, but every time he is met with scorn. He's raised them at these shelters with the people at the shelters. And he says that he gets scorn every single time. He was told by Chicago city officials that he was, quote, again, what's his last name, Kane? Lopez.
Lopez.
Yeah. And that's important. His last name is Lopez. He was told that he was anti-immigrant and xenophobic because he raised these issues.
Huh. Because Lopez doesn't sound...
I mean, when I think of white supremacy, I think of Lopez, right. You know, I mean,
don't we all?
I mean, oh my gosh, he's raising a good point. And also, you know, what about, think about the people again, the people who came to the United States the right way and they brought their kids with them. They did everything the right way and they followed all the instructions and they got their kids in school or got their kids with this, or maybe some of them have, because I know that. I don't even remember what they are. It's been so long. But I know that for certain things, for some of these old-timey diseases and that, the schedule, you have to wait until they're X years old, this year's old. But what happens if there's like a gap in that, or, you know, they're coming up on the next immunization or something like that, and then their children are there with children who haven't gotten anything at all, and have me. You see the point that I'm making? This affects, you know, so many people. And it also affects minority communities, too. I don't know why they're telling Lopez that he's anti-immigrant and xenophobic, because he's like, hey, they're sick. Can they maybe not be sick? This is what happens when you have like an open revolving door at the southern border, though. It's crazy. When you look at the shelters, how is that more compassionate than being held in the processing areas at the southern border? I mean, it's not. That's the whole point. They just pretend that it is. Good heavens. Now they're having all these issues. They're having all these issues. And it could have been avoided. Some of the other things to touch on as well. Yeah, they're doing that contact tracing in Chicago because they said that a fifth of the arrivals from the southern border carry tuberculosis. That's a big deal. Isn't that, that's an old-timey thing. Health officials confirmed it. The Chicago City Department of Health said that a fifth of the people that had entered illegally and are coming into Chicago have tested, they carry TB. And the majority of those 56 measles cases, like almost all of them, I think, except for four, came from that Pilsen migrant, the center, the illegal immigrant center there. So now they're having to do contact tracing. My mind's blown.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. I'm trying to pull this up. Forgive me, because now everything's frozen again. Let's see here. Couple of things. Give me one. I'm having a little tech difficulties here. Yeah, that'd be great. So first and foremost, Europe's highest pedestrian suspension bridge has opened in Italy. Slightly terrifying. It looks kind of, I'm just saying, it's looks, that's crazy. It's called, it's in Solano, it's in Umbria. It is the highest of its kind, say Italian authorities. It is, would you walk across that? I'm not really afraid of heights, but.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
It's, I just feel, you have to be tethered on this, you have to be tethered on this cable. And they said it's about highest of its kind. It's slung 574 feet above a void, above this huge like expanse. And it connects a medieval village about an hour southeast of the regional capital and then to another village on the other side of the river. And they said the walk is just under a half a mile long. It takes 30 minutes or so. And you have to wear this harness and do that.
If there's nobody else on the bridge and I was hooked up to that and I could go a little fast, I might be able to do it.
Would you?
I
because the bridge floor, the bridge itself looks right. Like just like these blocks that are connected. What happens if your foot slips?
I know.
I'm just saying. I don't know. It's just like a little scary. Let's see this. A couple other ones. A stay-at-home mother faces jail time after an arrest warrant was issued for unreturned books at a county library. This 30-year-old mother, she thought her birthday began with a warrant for her arrest, apparently. I guess she was arrested on her birthday. It's in Grimes County, Texas. She rented five books from the Navasota Public Library, and they were for her homeschooled children. And she apparently was dealing with a rough pregnancy, and she had placenta previa, and she apparently was on bed rest and all this other stuff. She didn't return the books by the due date. She said her husband returned all but one book because it didn't fit into their Dropbox. And then when she went to renew her driver's license, they issued a warrant for a $570 ticket for the book. And the judge said that he didn't want to hear her excuses. She needed to take responsibility. And yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. It's a damn library book. She said she offered to pay for the missing books, even though they had been returned. And the judge said it was beyond that point in the process and she had to make things right. Who is this stupid judge? This is so stupid. I mean, good grief. And she's a nursing mother, too. And she apparently did legitimately. She was like on bed rest for weeks when all of that happened. This is so stupid. They were trying to say you taking this book is like going to Walmart, not paying for the merchandise. But she returned it and then she paid the fine. I can't deal with these people. Thank heavens that it's Friday. And last but not least, now that things are kind of in working order again, you're not supposed to eat runny yolks because you could catch bird flu. A former FDA expert says don't eat eggs over easy or sunny side up. But that's the only way that I like them.
Exactly.
I do what I want, says America. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think if there were, I forget the exact number of votes, but I think every Greek American in Delaware voted for me because they... No. By the way, as some of the Delawareans will tell you, That's where I acquired a nickname I'm very proud of. I am Joe Bidenopoulos. And that's a nickname I got.
So- yeah, Joe Bidenopoulos. Friday. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lasher with you. Bottom of this third hour. There was the Greek Independence Day reception. He was confused. Audio soundbite 4. I don't understand this one. Explain this to me. Listen to this.
I should start by saying the only reason I'm able to stand here is because of the Greek community. That's
yeah,
not hyperbole.
A column that I'm leaning against right behind me. I don't know what his point. I don't get it. Awkward. I wanted to also bring up, let me see here. So Baylor University, which is a nice university. It's in Waco, beautiful campus. I saw this tweet from this guy named Greg Garrett. And Greg Garrett is a professor at Baylor University. And he is a professor of literature and culture, and he likes to say he loves talking about how much of a Christian he is, and now he's probably a better Christian than you are. And he gets into how he's a theologian and all of this stuff. He actually tweeted this. Now, I want you to keep in mind, as I read this tweet to you, Joe Biden, how many times is he, for quote unquote, forgiven student loans? And apparently he's got, actually, I had another headline about that. Let me pull this up. I just saw this. He had an, apparently they're going to do another student loan forgiveness thing. You know, he's got to pay off for those votes, right? So that's coming. So this guy, Greg Garrett, who teaches at Baylor, tweeted, quote, "Today in my Harry Potter class at Baylor, we had a hard and necessary conversation about J.K. Rowling and her hatred of trans people. We decided novelist Rowling, who wrote with compassion about diversity, equity, and inclusion, is worth our attention. Twitter Rowling, shame on her." And then, because he started getting some pushback, he decided to limit the people who could reply to him. And then he goes, quote, "I am not unaccustomed to disagreement on Twitter. I'm a Christian, and I teach at a great Christian university, and I'm involved in the Christian work of acknowledging the marginalized and dispossessed, those whom the prophets and Jesus put front and center. Disagree if you must." And then he goes, "I've talked with Rowling's former bishop, and he said that she, he confirmed that she attended church some years ago." And he calls what she, he says that she hates. He can't make the, he cannot differentiate between disagreement and refusal to affirm and hate. And that's what this is. If you refuse to affirm, you're classified as hate. But what I want to know, and maybe everyone listening could ask Baylor University the same thing, why Greg Garrett is charging people good money in a broke economic era to teach about a children's book. An entire class, apparently he said, it's a 15-week course. I find Greg Garrett to be a stupid old sexist, if I'm just being honest. I made the point, even the devil can quote scripture, and impugning the character of a woman because she very accurately recognizes the existence of women is abusive, sexist, and evil. Get behind me, Satan. I mean, imagine this guy. It's a course at Baylor where tuition, I mean, you're paying what?
Harry Potter is a course at Baylor?
Yeah, his Harry Potter class. Forgive our student loans.
So what's the kind of job you get after you get that Harry Potter education?
Yeah, that's a great question. What sort of work does a Harry Potter course prepare one for?
Right.
I mean, what sort of task?
Online fighting?
Yeah, like what sort of task is one expected to complete after finishing a Harry Potter course with one Greg Garrett, 2 R's, 2 T's? Greg 1 Garrett on Twitter. Or sorry, X. I mean, that's, I can't imagine why it's so difficult for people to earn enough money to pay off their loans after they spend a year learning about a children's book. But furthermore, he's promoting the idea that you should shame and hate on J.K. Rowling. Nothing that she has ever said has been in any way remotely indicative of hate. It's been very unvarnished truth, but it hasn't been malicious. It hasn't been hateful. But what I do find hateful are people like false shepherds named Greg Garrett, who wrap themselves in a veneer of faith while spitting venom and poison at young impressionable minds and thinking that they're excused because they can say Christian five times in a tweet. Like I said, even the devil can cite scripture, as Greg Garrett proves. Why does Baylor, why does any Christian university tolerate this kind of nonsense? You don't need to check any kind of diversity box to have this old sexist white dude teach about a children's book for 15 weeks at Baylor. Pray tell, what sort of a diversity check are you trying to accomplish by having an old sexist white guy named Greg Garrett, who is maliciously attacking a female for rightly recognizing that women exist? If you want to have a discussion of irony, I give you one Greg Garrett. We should ask him to come on air. Let's reach out.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm. And if not, maybe I could meet him in his classroom. Waco's not far. You know, for a conversation about why he's such a sexist and why he hates women. That's the, everything she's ever said on Twitter has been there. It's all still there. She's not deleting tweets. She's not erasing anything. So I absolutely reject this notion. Why is this guy acting, by the way? Who nominated Greg Garrett to be the gatekeeper for vagina? These people. How much do you think he gets paid, Kane?
Oh, gosh. Hang on. I'm actually looking at
it. Oh, you are? You're looking at it right now. Kane's trying to figure out how much he's going to estimate how much Greg Garrett gets paid. He acts like I'm such a Christian. I teach at a Christian university and I'm involved in the Christian work of acknowledging the marginalized and et cetera, et cetera. And he gets in, he goes, he accuses people of disagreeing with him as gaslighting. He got mad that there was a community note that was placed upon one of his posts. I mean, this guy is everything that the New Testament warns you about. It's all wrapped up in a sloppy little package with a bow called Greg Garrett. That's everything that you were warned about to look for. Charlatans, false prophets, fake shepherds, the whole nine yards. It's all in one package named Greg Garrett at Baylor. Yes, Kane?
Looks like I have his email address and phone number.
Oh, let's get in touch with him.
I could do that.
Yeah, I would love to talk with one Greg Garrett. Yeah, that would be great. Because I'm very curious. I'm very curious as to if he's open to a conversation about the sexism in chastising women who do not affirm the mental illness of men. If he is open to discussing the patriarchal attacks on women who affirm the existence of women.
Got it.
I just am Harry Potter class. My mother would beat me to death if I took a Harry Potter class.
Are they doing it in the realm of like writing and maybe even screenplay creation?
No, apparently they're talking about how J.K. Rowling is a TERF.
Yeah, that's not going to make
today in Harry Potter, the author's a TERF.
I mean, it can make you money if you're putting that stuff online and getting engagement out of it, but
the audacity of someone like Greg Garrett castigating Rowling and saying that, oh, he's the one who stands up for the dispossessed. You are dispossessing her of her femaleness right now by denying her voice because she disagrees with your old white desiccated ass. That's what you're doing, you giant sexist pig. You want to know why women hate the patriarchy, the progressive patriarchy? They're all progressive. They're all Democrats. And they fought against women's right to vote. They fought against recognizing women as equals. And you can still see that very progressive ideology so pervasive around the world today and represented at Baylor University in one Greg Garrett. I get mad about this because this guy's teaching a class and I can't imagine any dude. this is a class of chicks. Come on. This is not a class of dudes. No dude is going to be like, I'm going to take a Harry Potter class. Nobody's doing that. They're all chicks.
Easy. Unless they think it's an easy class.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're going to reach out to Greg Garrett. One way or another. But this is so a hard and necessary conversation. What about his hatred of women? I could go on this far. This made me mad because somebody like this shouldn't be teaching at a Christian university. If you're going to gatekeep, then gatekeep. This guy is, and this guy, his behavior and the poison and venom that he professes is not indicative of the Christian faith that he likes to wield and claim and use as a veneer to defend against any and all criticism or accountability. This guy. So we'll see. Kane's reaching out, and I'll keep you updated. Last but not least, so we were talking about on break the Cowboy Carter album, the Beyonce album. I don't care. I don't know why there's. I think only the left is bringing up. They're the only ones that are trying to create any kind of drama over people being what that they don't think that black musicians can do country music. Have you heard of Charlie Pride? I mean, good grief. The left needs an education. But I will say, now I listened to the Texas Hold'em song, and that sounded very original. I like the way the instruments sound in the album. They're not over-processed, and they sound very warm. But I was not a fan of the Jolene cover. I mean, it's not that Beyoncé is not talented. She's a very talented singer, and she's a very talented performer. I just think if you're going to redo something, you have to redo it the way Johnny Cash did Hurt. When Trent Reznor came out, was that on Downward Spiral? Hurt? Yeah. Or Pretty Hate Machine? When Nine Inch Nails came out with Hurt, you know, it was a great song. But when Johnny Cash covered Hurt in an album that Rick Rubin produced, and the last album that Johnny Cash came out with, Johnny Cash took that song and put soul in it. And he remade what you thought Trent Reznor wrote. And that became Johnny Cash's song. So whenever I hear, oh, that song Hurt, I don't think of Nine Inch Nails. I think of Johnny Cash. That is a cover. And I just think if you're going to do a cover, especially of a song like Jolene, I just think it has to have more. And it's not because there was a lack of talent or musicianship or anything. There's something missing in it. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. But Steve was talking. He likes some of the tracks on the album. I thought the Texas Hold'em song, that's some of the other ones. The Blackbird one, I thought the harmonies were pretty, but I wasn't really, But
I was more offended by the Blackbird cover than the Jolene cover, to be honest.
The Blackbird cover, I don't know. Maybe it's because I am predisposed to feel more from a song when I know that someone who wrote it and is performing it had an emotional stake in it. Because wasn't that the song that Paul McCartney wrote for Julian Lennon when his parents were divorcing and he was going through a really hard time, and Paul McCartney felt really bad for that kid and he wrote that song? So that's knowing the story of that track and then hearing him perform it, it takes on a whole new meaning. And when you hear someone perform that song without that emotional component, it's not for a lack of talent or production quality. And this isn't a case, I think, where they had to have the production on 11 to make up for talent. I don't think it was that at all. It's just not one of those things that it didn't run for me. It didn't track. I don't know. But like I said, I thought the Texas Hold'em song was very original. It's a good song. It's not my jam, but it's a good song. I can see why a lot of people would like that track. It's...
You want my honesty on my musical honesty?
I'm not going to make you say it if you don't want to say it.
Okay, all right.
Kane had... Unless you... Go ahead.
I mean, I just think it's an accurate take. Like, I heard when listening to Beyonce, you can hear the talent in her voice. No matter what she's singing, you can hear the talent. And like, for example, like Laura Trump, when you hear her doing like a Tom Petty song, for example, you're like, wow, I can really hear, you know, the effort in the studio that they made to make this sound good. So that, to me, that those are the differences that I look at and care about when it comes to music.
You are very classy.
Thank you.
But it I wish you could see his smugness sitting over there. Oh, my gosh.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And, of course, make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, over at Substack. We'll keep you updated, too, as to whether or not we're going to have Mr. Garrett on. And don't forget Eclipse Mania on Monday. Oh, my gosh. It's supposed to be cloudy here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, but we'll see how the weather actually plays out that day.
Marjorie Taylor Greene said that God was sending America strong signs. How did she miss, a friend of mine goes, how did she miss the cicadas? Right. She mentioned the earthquakes and that.
Add that to the whole thing.
I actually am excited about the cicadas because that's my favorite sound. I just don't like looking at them. That's I'll vomit like immediately if I see one. They're so nasty. They're the nasty. I will. It's like I can't control it. It's a thing. I'm not even joking. Go ahead, King.
Frighteningly large flies. All right. So Kamala Harris today in stupidity. It looks like she's given us a history lesson on NCAA basketball. Listen to that.
Oh, fun.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? What?
Whoa.
Think about that.
Wait a minute. NCAA women's basketball has been around since the 80s in tournaments, and I think that's how you keep track of who advances.
She doesn't even watch women's basketball.
What she's talking
she
about.
She doesn't even watch women's basketball.
She's
so,
drunk. She's drunk.
Day ends in Y. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Monday is Eclipse Mania. Whatever that means. We'll see you Monday. God bless.